This will answer more questions for you as far as conduct is concerned than anything I know of. This is a fantastic thing to know and to understand. That one's a little bit blank on the blank side. All right. Yeah, that won't help a whole lot with it. This will answer a lot of questions for you as far as what you should do and shouldn't do. And very, very helpful. We'll leave the rest of those here. If anybody is not here and you know of somebody who's not, you'd like to give it to them, we'll do so. Take as many as you like. People need to know and understand this. All right, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again this morning for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Word of God that instructs us and tells us those things that we need to know and need to do, and give us the good sense to listen carefully to what you have to say, and that we might make the correct applications to our own lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul here in the 14th chapter is talking about the weak Christian. They are weak Christians. There's such thing as those who are weak in the faith. In the 15th chapter, if you'll notice, he says in the first verse, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." We have weak Christians, we have strong Christians. Paul considers himself to be a strong Christian. He says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." Now he talks about the weak. "To him that is weak in the faith, receive ye." That's chapter 14, verse 1. Here's a weak Christian that's in the faith. Receive him. It would be nice if all the people who were members of this church were strong. Be great. Never happened. There's always going to be some weak Christians here. Or anywhere. And everywhere. You find them all over the place. A lot of times, the weak Christians are considered to be strong, and the strong Christians are considered to be weak. I don't know why we get things backwards most of the time, but we do. In the Word of God, we get it all backwards. I have quoted John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever behaves shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And I have a lot of people just sit there and do this. Now, I saw some of you doing this, and that's right. It's not behaves, it's believe, in case you didn't listen very carefully. Behaving never saved anybody. Anybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. If you trust Him, you're saved. Your behavior has nothing to do with your salvation. Your behavior has to do with your happiness after you're saved. If you are saved and you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to enjoy the abundant life. If you are walking in the flesh, then you're going to have a miserable life. You're not going to be happy. You're going to lose even the joy of your salvation. And a lot of people lose the joy of their salvation. They think they've lost their salvation, or that they never were saved. David, when he committed adultery, and that's bad. Anybody think adultery is good? Anybody think that's good? No. What about murder? You think that's a good thing to do? Well, David murdered, and David committed adultery. And he didn't ask God to give him back his salvation. Do you know what David did? He said, "God, give me back the joy of my salvation. And if you give me back the joy of my salvation, then I'll start telling people how to get to heaven." See? Didn't lose his salvation when he murdered. Didn't lose his salvation when he committed adultery. Just lost the joy. Now, there are those who are weak in the faith. And they are miserable. They're uptight. They stay on the panic button most of the time. They're so afraid they're going to do something that's wrong. And they're so afraid somebody else is going to do something that's wrong. Now, we all do wrong. That's just the way it is. Paul did wrong. He, in the seventh chapter of Romans, he says, "What I want to do, I don't do." We saw that. "What I don't want to do, I find myself doing," you know. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Thank God through Jesus Christ." That was the seventh chapter of Romans and the eighth. Now he's talking about the weak. Now, the Bible says it's wrong to commit adultery. It's always wrong. It never has been right, never will be right. It's always wrong under any and every circumstance. Adultery is always wrong. Murder is always wrong. Never is right to murder somebody. Always has been, always will be. Lying is always wrong. You never can tell a lie and it be right. It's wrong. It's just, God says don't do it, and then it's wrong when you lie. You can't make it right to lie. Stealing is always wrong. It never is right to steal. I don't care where you are, when it is, or what the circumstance is, it's always wrong to steal. Stealing is against the law of God. Covetousing is always wrong. You never can covet and it be right. Those things we're not talking about. We don't talk about, he's not talking about this. But there are weak Christians who think that certain things are wrong. God never said they were wrong. But some kind of way, grandma or grandpa or some preacher or somebody down the road said it was wrong. And they think it's wrong because so-and-so said so. Now, God didn't say it, but they thought it. And so, when they see somebody doing those things, they get all bent out of shape. They get all upset about it. They're weak. Why? Well, they're just weak in the faith. They don't understand. Just like remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. When I was a kid, that was the big thing. Every Sunday, they kept on emphasizing to us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We had one fellow in our group, went to school with us. He was my little brother's age. My little brother named Biscuit. And he was his best friend. And we'd go out and we'd play in the yard some, not much, because our folks wouldn't let us do much playing in the yard or something. But he couldn't even go outside. Well, it was a Sabbath. And he had to stay indoors all day Sunday. We'd get in the car and we'd ride around and, you know, Mom and Daddy, they'd take us down in the spring of the year, and we'd look at all the trees, and we'd just enjoy the new flowers and all that kind of stuff. He couldn't do that. He had to stay at the house. He couldn't go. Well, it was the Sabbath. Now, it was a while they'd let us go out, and we'd play a little baseball or a little football or something like that, but not much. But he couldn't at all. See? Now, why couldn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? He was weak. His folks were weak in the faith. Because they were trying to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, there's just a couple of things about that. One is the Sabbath is on Saturday, not Sunday. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, not the first day of the week. We worship on the first day of the week because Jesus Christ arose from the dead. The early church worshipped on the first day of the week. It says on the first day of the week they came and they gave. We'll see that when we get to 1 Corinthians. On the first day of the week, Sunday. And that's the reason we worship on Sunday. But now, if you want to call Sunday the Sabbath, that's fine. You can do that. But you're weak in the faith. Now, just remember, you're weak when you do that. He's going to talk about that in just a minute. Actually, today, you know, we should take every day alike. There shouldn't be any differences in our days. It's so easy to set one day aside and say, we're going to have this day is going to be the Lord's day. And we're going to give this to the Lord. And be real pious about it. You know, we can just really wax eloquent. You know, we don't, you know, this is the Lord's day. We're going to give it all to Him. But what about Monday? Well, we can take off our Sunday to go to meeting clothes, you know. And when we take off our Sunday to go to meeting clothes, then it's a different ball game. We can act different unless we got them on. When we got our Sunday to go to meeting, we got to act like we are, you know. We got to smile. And, you know, we got to act like we just almost ready to go to heaven. You know. Soon we pull them off. We take off the smile and we act like whatever we want to act like. Well, you can do that. But just remember, you're weak in the faith. You're weak when you do that. Now, a strong Christian will take every day alike. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day we're to serve Him. Every day is dedicated unto Him. There's no difference in our days. We get up on Monday, we serve the Lord. We get up on Tuesday, we serve the Lord. We get up on Wednesday, we serve the Lord. It just happens that one day we may go and worship together and fellowship together, because the Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because we need the fellowship and we need to build each other up in the faith. And we need to help each other, encourage each other, teach each other. Now, it doesn't matter what day in the week we do that. You know, some folks think if you don't have a Wednesday night prayer meeting, the church has done slipped. You won't find anywhere in the Bible that they ever met on Wednesday night. Now, I know we don't meet on Wednesday night. And that's all right. We don't have to meet on Wednesday. We don't have to meet on Sunday. Did you know that? We could meet on Monday just as well. Or we could meet on Saturday just as well. It doesn't make a difference what day we meet. Now, we need to meet sometime so we can fellowship together and so we can serve the Lord. But, you know, it doesn't matter what day it is. Now, they did it on the first day of the week in the first century, the early church. And that's the reason why we do it on that day. Now, if you'll take your little print out here, you'll see that there are four laws that have to do with things that are not mentioned in the Scripture. Those things that are not covered. And these four laws, the first one is toward yourself. We're at liberty. We are at liberty to do anything that we want to do, unless the Bible specifically says that it is wrong, like adultery. There are people today try to tell you that adultery is all right. You can, you know, it's all right for two people to live together before they marry. Nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly all right. Well, God says, you know, one man, one woman, we marry, we live together, fine. It's always wrong. Now, we're at liberty to do anything that we want to do. Now, this is toward ourselves. But then there's a law that supersedes the law of liberty. That's the law of love, and that is toward other Christians. There are Christians who are weak in the faith. And while let's use drinking. Now, there are those who say they're told abstainers. I happen to be one of those. I have never tasted anything strong in RC Cola, and I don't even like that. That's too stout for me. Never tasted beer, whiskey, wine. Ever. I'm a teetotaler. But I'm a teetotaler not because of conviction that the Bible says that you're not supposed to taste anything. I'm a teetotaler because of when I was in the ninth grade, I believe it was, in school, my friends went out on Friday night and they got a half case of beer apiece, and they got drunk. And they came back to school the next Monday morning and talked about what a great time they had on Friday night. Well, the next week they did that same thing again, and they didn't invite me. I don't know why they invited me, but they didn't. And they went out and they got drunk again. They came back the next Monday morning. I had four friends. They were my best friends. And they came back the next Monday morning. They talked about what a great time they had. And I said, they getting drunk. They're going to kill themselves. And I was a designated driver before there was ever anybody even talked about designated drivers. So the next Friday night, I went with them. And I said, I'm going to drive for them crazy dudes before they turn that. I put that thing around, wrapped that thing around a telephone pole. So I went out and we went up here just south of Columbus, over in Lyons County, on Highway 45. We were coming north, going toward Columbus. Just you go across the line, there's a little dirt road that you take off. We took a left and we went out in there. There's a grocery store on the right. Well, they went in there and they stepped up to the counter and one of them said, I want a case, half case of, what is it, 12-pack? 12-pack of slits or whatever it was. I don't remember what kind it got. The next one up there, he got him a half case. Another one got a half case. And next one got a half case. And I stepped up the counter. I was bigging all the rest of them. And then I looked up there, and he had a big can, of one of them tall cans of Donald Duck orange juice. I said, I want one of them. He said, he had laughed, and he thought I was kidding, you know. He said, well, what kind of beer you want? I said, I don't want no beer. I want that Donald Duck orange juice. You don't want to sell it to me? I can get somewhere else. And he said, no. So he got it down. He sold it. And I opened that dude up, and I drank my Donald Duck orange juice, and they drank their beer. Well, I held their heads. In fact, we got to the, they drank, and, you know, they were getting acting crazy. And I went down, and we got tomato juice and got all kinds of stuff trying to sober them up. And I was trying to take them home. We got in the intersection. This one guy lived in the intersection there. In fact, he's a multimillionaire now. And he said, stop. I slammed on brakes, and he opened the door. You know, he just filled that intersection full of stuff. I said, Lord have mercy. If this is a good time, please deliver me from it. You know. So I held heads, and I never have liked that stuff. But I cannot find in the Bible where it says that we're not to drink. Now, we're not to get drunk, and there's a big difference between drinking and getting drunk. There are a lot of people who drink a little wine before they eat supper. In fact, my doctor told me I ought to drink a little wine before supper, and he said, if you want me to, I'll get you a prescription for it. I said, no, I don't need a prescription. If I'm going to drink it, I go in there and I get it myself, and I don't have to worry about it. Now, I never have done it, but he told me I ought to do that. And this doctor is a fine Christian man. And I think he probably does that himself. And he said, that's good for you. It may be good for him. And it may be good for me. But I hadn't done it yet. And I probably won't ever. But there's nothing wrong with that. There are German Christians over in Germany. And they drink beer all the time. Now, they don't get soused. They don't do like my friends did, but they do drink beer. Are they unsaved? No. If they came over here and drank beer here, they'd offend a lot of weak Christians. They would. And if I was a German and I was a beer drinker and I came to the United States while I was here, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't drink it. I wouldn't. When we were over in Israel, my wife, she got sick. She drank some water. She was brushing her teeth and forgot and drank some of that water, and she got the bug. And they told her she'd drink a little wine, it'd take care of it. Well, we never did find any, never did get any. She never did drink it. Somebody else had a pill there, and she took the pill, and after about 2 days, she was over it. But that's what they told her to do, was to drink some wine. And like I say, we never did find any. I don't know where they had it. I'm sure somebody over there had some somewhere. But I never did go looking out for it. We didn't have time, for one thing. But see, those things are doubtful things. And we're at liberty to do that. But because of weak Christians and the law of love, we don't do that around certain people. Here's a person who is weak, and they think it's wrong just to taste any kind of beverage that's potent, that's got alcohol in it. If I drank a little wine before my meal at night, and that person was there, I'd forget it that night. I wouldn't drink it because I don't want to offend that weak Christian. See? And that's the law of love. We don't do certain things because of our law of love. The law of love supersedes the law of liberty. I'm at liberty to drink, but I don't around weak Christians. There's another law that supersedes even the law of love, and that's the law of expediency, and that's toward unsaved people. There are a lot of unsaved people who think it's wrong to drink, to even taste it. And if you taste anything that's stronger than RC Cola around them, they're not going to listen to you when you witness to them. And that drinking of that little bit of wine or that beer or whatever it happened to be, even the hard liquor. And I don't know why a person would want to drink hard liquor. Hard liquor is sort of like Brown's Mule chewing tobacco. I stole a little pinch off each corner of a plug of Brown's Mule chewing tobacco when I was about 9 years old, and I was taken to our maid, the woman what cooked at the house. It's a mile from our store up to the house. By the time I got to the house, I was so sick, I didn't know what to do. And she took one look at me and said, you been in my tobacco, hadn't you? And I said, no. She knew I was lying. I knew I was lying. But I didn't want her to know I'd chewed some of that tobacco. Well, it made me so sick I didn't know what to do. But there's the law of expediency toward unsaved folks. And we don't want to do those certain things around them because we don't want to destroy our testimony. We want the question to be whether you're going to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, not whether you're going to drink or not, or whatever it happens to be. Then there's the fourth law, and that law is the law of supreme sacrifice. And this supersedes all the other three laws. And the law of supreme sacrifice is toward God. There are certain things that are perfectly all right. There's nothing against it nowhere, but just don't do it because of my extreme dedication to God and I want to serve Him. The illustration that is given, that Paul gives us, is taking a wife. Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with getting married, is it? In fact, it's the right thing to do, is to get married. But Paul said he didn't take a wife. Why? Because family life takes time. Family life takes a lot of time. Paul didn't have time to lead about a wife. He was doing missionary work, and he was working night and day, teaching the Word of God and preaching, and so he didn't have time to get married. He forewent that. I like to hunt. I like to deer hunt. And I got to go a couple of days this year. First time I've gone in a long time. You know why? I don't have time. I used to go every morning when I lived out in the country, out in Tallahatchie County. I'd get up, and I could get my clothes on, get in my car, and be hunting in 5 minutes from the time my feet hit the floor until I was looking down the barrel of my gun. And I'd go every morning. I liked it. I'd be back at the house by 8 o'clock. But, you know, there was a little patch of woods there that this fellow that wouldn't let anybody hunt in there but me. I was the only one that got to hunt there. He didn't hunt squirrels. But he told me anytime I wanted to go, I could go. He cut everybody out because they was out there in those four-wheelers and cutting up his turn rows and his field and everything. And so he told me, he just posted and said nobody can go out there. He begged them not to do it, and they did it anyway. So he just posted it. But he let me go. But when I moved to Starville, I was so busy, I just didn't have time to do it. Or I didn't take the time. I put other things first. I put teaching the Word of God. Now, like I say, I like to do that. But that was the law of supreme sacrifice. Nothing wrong with hunting. I don't know of anybody really that thinks, at least I haven't run anybody lately that thinks it's wrong to hunt. I don't know of anybody that thinks that. But everybody I know thinks it's a pretty good idea and they like to do it. Like to go. And but because we're doing something for the Lord, we don't go hunting. Or whatever it happens to be. Now, you can name anything, see. There's legitimate things that are all right to do. There's no law against it. Nobody thinks that we'll stumble over it. But because of our dedication to God, our serving Him, we don't do it. That's the law of supreme sacrifice. Paul didn't take a wife. Maybe there's something that you don't do because you love the Lord so much that you want to serve Him in that kind of way. Now, these are the four laws that we're under. We are the ones to determine whether we're going to exercise the law of love. We are the ones to determine whether we're going to exercise the law of expediency. We are the one to determine whether we're going to exercise the law of supreme sacrifice. Paul can't decide for me whether I'm going to exercise the law of love or not. I can't decide for Christy back there whether she's going to exercise the law of expediency. She's got to do that. See, I have to decide for myself. You have to decide for yourself. We are under the law of liberty, and we are at liberty to do anything we want to do, like hunting, marrying, like eating meat offered to an idol, like playing football on Sunday, or going fishing on Sunday. Now look at what he says here. And our time is running out fast. Him that is weak in the faith, this is the one who we're going to exercise the law of love toward. Receive him. Him that is weak in the faith. receive him, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, don't doubt or don't put him, this weak Christian, under a bunch of laws and rules and regulations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Now, what's that? Vegetables. Here's one guy over here, he's weak, and he doesn't eat anything but vegetables. And here's another guy over here, he can eat anything. He can eat catfish, pork, beef, lamb, buzzard, whatever he wants to eat, you know. You see, we're at liberty to eat anything we want to. Now, God never gave the law of the dietary laws to make you spiritual. He never did do that. Those people, the Jews, you know, they always emphasize not eating pork. Well, why did God tell them not to eat pork? If they don't eat pork, does that mean they're spiritual? No. What does it mean?
Healthy.
That's all it means. It's just unhealthy to eat pork. What about catfish? Oh, my wife loves catfish. Ooh, I don't eat that stuff. Not much. Not much. If I can have it, I don't eat it. If I know it, I don't eat it. Why? Well, Mr. Pig and Mr. Catfish is the garbage collector. They go around and they eat all the garbage. And if you want to eat the garbage collector, you can just have at it. It's not going to make you spiritual not to eat that. It's not going to make you spiritual to eat it. But God told us which things to eat and which not to eat. He gives you the stuff in Leviticus. Things that are good for you, things that are bad for you. If you want to eat the bad things for you, fine. If you don't want to eat good things for you, you don't have to. President Bush didn't like broccoli. I think it's pretty good myself. If it's cooked right, if you steam it for 5 minutes, boy, it's great. If you cook it for 7 minutes, it's horrible. But 5 minutes, exactly 5 minutes, you take it off the pot, steam it, man, it's good. If you overcook that stuff, it's a mess. But has a person who doesn't want to eat broccoli, don't eat it. There's a person who wants to eat it, eat it. It's left up to you. You're at liberty to do what you want to about it. Well, one of them doesn't eat anything but vegetables, broccoli. Other ones, now notice he's the weak one. Another who is weak only eats vegetables. Let not him that eateth. Now, here's a guy who's eating buzzard or catfish or beef or deer. Let not him that eateth despise him that doesn't eat. Don't look down your nose at this fellow over here, because all he eats is vegetables. And there are a lot of vegetarians today. They don't eat anything. I had a little girl at my house back a couple of months ago, and my daughter said she doesn't eat anything but vegetables. So, you know, that's fine. And I didn't know what, if it had any meat in there at all of any kind, she wouldn't eat it. I mean, if it was just seasoned a little bit, I think if you even put a bouillon cube in there, she wouldn't eat it. Because a bouillon cube has some beef in it, or some meat in it, depending on what kind you got, from what I understand. But that's what she said. My daughter says, does it have any bouillon in it? I said, oh no. Well, it was, I don't know, peas or something. And she knew that Dixie cooked with some bouillon, because we got a big tall thing of bouillon cubes up there. And I said, I just don't know now. Well, she ate it. And it probably had a bouillon cube in it. I didn't know for sure. But the poor girl wouldn't have had anything to eat on rest. Because I guess you can use vegetable oils and things to cook with. But let him that eateth despise, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. There's a guy over here that's eating everything. The weak person is not to judge this one, and this one is not to judge this one. Why? God has received both of them. Hey, we're all in this together. And let's don't get bent out of shape over little insignificant things that don't matter to a hill of beans. Who are you that you judge another man's servant? The guy that lived next door to me when I was a kid, my parents didn't go over there and spank him when he was bad. But he belonged to the Sullivans. The Sullivans didn't come over and bother us either. It was enough for Daddy. You know, he could handle that job. He didn't need no help. Now, we all belong to the Lord. And you don't have to discipline me. You don't have to correct me. Why? God does that. I don't have to correct Paul. If Paul messes up, his father can handle that. He doesn't need any help. God doesn't need my help to straighten Paul out when he messes up. God doesn't need your help to straighten out anybody else. You know, I learned that real early. I hadn't been saved very long, and I messed up big time. God snatched the knot in my neck. He straightened me out right quick. And I found out, you know, God didn't need any help from anybody else. He could straighten me out. Well, if he can straighten me out, can't he straighten you out? Well, sure he can. So what do? I just get out of the way, and somebody's messing up. Now, if they won't help, if they're messing up and they won't help, and they want me to help them, I'll do anything I can to help. I'll do anything to help. I'm not going to hurt intentionally. If I do something and it hurts you, it's not intentional that I do it. But I'll do anything in the world I can to help you. And that's what we ought to do. We ought to do what we can to help. Well, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, to his own dad, he stands or falls. Yeah, he will be held up, for God is able to make him stand. God's able to keep him standing. God's able to pick him up. God's able to help him. So what do? We let God, the Father, handle the discipline. If you're weak, we hope you'll grow up and you'll learn the things that you need to know so you can become a strong Christian. If you're strong, then don't put your rules and regulations. You know, I have a rule. I don't drink. I know I can, but I don't force that on anybody else. I have friends who take a sip now and then. You know, they take a little shot of wine before they eat meals, or they might take a sip here and there. I don't get bent out of shape over that. If that's wrong for them, then God's going to handle it for them. Now, if they get drunk, I don't like that too well, because I'm probably going to have to hold their head sooner or later. And I've held enough heads in my life. Now, I will hold one still. You know, I still do it. Okay. But it ain't the most fun thing in the world to do for me. You know, I've had a lot of things I enjoy doing a lot more than holding somebody's head that's sick. But if you're sick and you need me, you call me and I ain't going to kick you. I guarantee you. I'll pat you on the back. I'll try to get some coffee down you if you drink coffee, or some juice down you, whatever we can to help you sober up. But I ain't going to kick you. Guarantee you. I'll feel sorry for you, too. I sure will. I'll feel sorry for you. But I won't let you know it. I won't let you know it. I won't rub it in. I won't kick you. And that's what God wants us to do. See, we're to love the brother. We're to love each other. And you don't love somebody kicking them. You don't love somebody gossiping about them. You don't love somebody that you are mistreating and abusing. We've all messed up one way or the other. I never have messed up as far as getting drunk is concerned. But I have messed up many other ways, many times. Is because I've never been drunk, does that mean I'm a good fella? And I've never done wrong? No. You know, like we talk about our teammates. There are those who have strong points. Drinking is one of my strong points. Never have had any problem. Weak points. What's my weak point? I can tell you. And if you won't tell me what yours is, fine. I ain't gonna kick you by it. But that's your business. Your weaknesses is your business. And God is able to help you to stand, or give you the power to stand in your weakness. Just like in your strength. The power of God can help and can hold you up and keep you from falling in your weakness. And in my weakness. I don't have to fall. I don't have to sin. I can walk in the Spirit and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. Don't always do it, but I can. Now, if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and maybe somebody has not exercised the law of expediency towards you. They have not been a good testimony to you. I can remember when I first started preaching, People are always talking about the hypocrites in the church. They want to be saved because of the hypocrites in the church. Well, they are hypocrites in the church. There ain't no doubt about it. But they're also hypocrites in the grocery store. But you go to the grocery store. They're also hypocrites at school. You go to school. Everywhere you go, they're hypocrites. About the only place you can't go where there's no hypocrite but you is home. So don't stumble over the hypocrites. Just remember that Jesus Christ doesn't condemn you, just like the woman at the well and the woman that was taken in adultery and they brought her there in the temple. He told them that he loved them and they could be saved and have eternal life by faith in him. And the same thing is true for you. Care what you've ever done, don't care how bad you've been, in everybody else's eyes or your own eyes, God still loves you, and he died on the cross and paid for all your sins, was buried and rose again. If you'll trust him, he'll give you forever life. And that's all he's asked you to do, is to believe that he was the God who took on flesh, the Christmas story, died on that cross, was buried and rose again. And when he died, he paid for your sins. When he rose again, it proved that his sins were completely paid for and it was finished. And you trust him to save you. And he'll save you right now. He'll do that in your seat right where you're sitting. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. When you believe on him, you're not condemned. But if you don't believe, you're already condemned because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What's his name? Jesus Christ. Christ is the God who took on flesh. Jesus is the one who paid for sin. Trust him if you never have. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your free gift. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died in our place and paid for our sins. Thank you, we can know we're going to heaven. And if there's one person here this morning who does not know, we pray they might right now trust you as their Savior and know they have forever life. In Jesus' name, amen.